This is a production of Cornell University.
Alexa, it is 5:30. Do you want us to give people a couple more minutes or?
I think we could go. Well,
okay.
I think we can go. And okay. People will probably trickle in as we get started.
Okay, perfect. Okay, welcome. Welcome back, everyone. And welcome to those new members who are joining us for the very first time. This is our last GPSA meeting, so we hope it's a good one. We have some business to attend to, and that includes the election results, and we're super excited to share those with you. But first, I'd like to move to change the order of the meeting and to have roll call after the election results, so after our new business.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, there's been a second to the motion of moving roll call till after the election results have been presented. Is there anyone that's opposed? Okay.
Just to clarify, if we hold roll call after the election results are announced, that means the roll call will be for the newly elected members, or?
That is correct. Yes, that is correct. Yes. So any opposed?
One question though. Does that mean for those of us who aren't standing for election for next year because like we're graduating, does that mean that we are then, if so, if that happens, then wouldn't we be displaced and unable to rewind, let me restate. If we do that, that means that like those people like me who aren't gonna be members next year because we didn't stand election, that means we no longer have votes. Right. So shouldn't we do that towards the end of the meeting as a?
That's a great question. Everett, the way that we've structured the meeting is that the voting members who are from the professional schools or masters of engineering, you guys are still voting members as far as we know, since you do your own internal election. So there wasn't a turnover. In your personal case, we still have you as a voting member.
Okay. Then whatever. Then
No worries. That's a great question. So in order to vote on business today, this is the new hi Jen. This is the new voting members for today. So if you were a previous voting member and you did not run or did not get elected, then you thank you for your service. But now it's time to pass on to the baton. Okay. So there wasn't any opposition.
Just one point of comment. Do we have quorum if we go with new members?
Hopefully. We'll find
out. Because it's new members and then find that we don't have quorum. Yeah.
Right. Let me see. I think we should be okay. We'll find that out. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Okay.
Thanks. Can I just make a quick announcement really quickly? I just wanted to let everyone know about like the structure of this meeting and how it's going to work. So I'm actually in charge of taking questions. So if you want to say something, please raise your hand to do so. You can do that in the participants window in the in Zoom. Another thing is we've turned off chat so that it's only going to go to the hosts of the meeting. So if you have something to say, if you're having a technical difficulty, you can just message me. It will go to me, Andy, Alex, and the Office of the Assemblies. Also, I will not be entertaining follow-up questions. So if you have a follow-up question, you need to raise your hand again. And I will be muting you after you ask your question, just to prevent anything from getting out of control again, like it did at the last meeting.
Right. Thank you, Alexa. So again, welcome. We're gonna go ahead. There was no opposition to our motion to change the order of the agenda. So I'd like to go ahead and get started with the election results. And for this, I believe I can share my screen. So here we go. Alexa, can you confirm that we do see, that everyone sees the Google Doc, the Google presentation? Okay, perfect. So first, I'd like to announce the winners of the voting members for the Arts and Humanities. It was Paul, Hannah, and Stephanie. Congratulations to the Arts and Humanities voting members. Again, you have full voting rights at this meeting. For Life Sciences, we have Martik, Maddie, and Tim. So congratulations to Life Sciences. For Physical Science and Engineering, we have 3 out of the 4 voting members. We have our returning voting members, Cody and Casey, and we'd like to congratulate Jordan on becoming a new voting member for Physical Sciences and Engineering. If you know someone who is interested in this position, please let us know and we will vote on it at the next meeting. For Social Science, our new voting members, we had a complete turnover. So we'd like to welcome Meredith, Hannah, Ruth, and Karina. Congratulations to Social Science for their new voting members. Masters at Large is still our very own Catherine Masters. So congratulations, Catherine. We look forward to having you an additional year at the GPSA. I believe next is our committee chairs. And the first one is the chair of the Graduate Professional Student Programming Board. And that once again is Casey. Congratulations, Casey. Thank you for your work. And we hope to have grad ball for next year. For chair of the Faculty Teaching, Advising, and Mentorship Awards, also known as the Faculty Awards, Cody, congratulations. We hope to have Faculty Awards again reinstated next year and other exciting events. For the chair of the Student Advocacy Committee, congratulations to Martik. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us, but welcome. It's a great opportunity to get involved and truly advocate for grad and professional students. So congratulations, Martik. For the general committee, we have our delegate, Stephanie Lopez. This is a 2-year commitment, so we appreciate the enthusiasm that Stephanie is showing and participating in the general committee. So welcome, Stephanie, and congratulations. For the chair of the Diversity and International Students Committee, DISC, UU, congratulations, another important committee. We look forward to see what you have in store for DISC. And I believe, we still have our university assembly delegates who we did not have anyone turn over. We have Jeff P., Logan Kenny, Alex Hong, and Cody Duell. So congratulations to our UA delegates. We have an additional 2 meetings to look forward to. And I believe that is it for our voting members and committee chairs. Okay, congratulations to everyone. For your nomination and the election results. So now let's find out if we have quorum. So usually our office clerk does this, but I'm not sure if Ashlyn is available, and she probably doesn't have. She certainly does not have this slide. So if it's okay with Ashlyn, I'd like to do roll call and see if we have quorum.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Ashlyn. Mm-hmm. So at this moment for our new voting members, usually we do roll call. So if you can, as soon as I call your name, if you can say that you're here or present, that way we can make sure that we do have quorum. Quorum is half of our seated voting members plus 1. In this case, it should be 13 majority. So we'll start with Arts and Humanities, and we'll go with Paul. Paul, are you here? Does anyone see Paul? Okay, Paul is not here. Hannah?
Present.
Thank you, Hannah. Stephanie?
Present.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now we move on to Life Sciences. Martik?
Present.
Thank you, Martik. Maddie, are you here?
Here. Sorry, my birds.
No worries. Thank you, Maddie. Tim. Is Tim here? Okay. We'll move on to physical science and engineering. Casey.
Here.
Perfect. Jordan, are you here?
Here.
Thank you, Jordan. Cody?
Here.
Thanks, Cody. As we mentioned, the professional schools and the masters, we are still doing the same voting members. So is Emery?
Here.
Thanks, Emery. Matt Schaffler, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, Matt. Heidi, are you here? Does anyone see Heidi here? No? Okay. And then do we have Matthew Sturgeon? Okay. No Matthew. Allison, are you here?
Here.
Thanks, Allison. Peyton, are you here?
Here.
Thanks, Peyton. Ryan Maloney, are you here?
I am.
Thanks, Ryan. Marvin? Okay, no Marvin. We'll move on to social science. Meredith. Meredith is not here. Hannah. No Hannah. Ruth?
Here.
Thanks, Ruth. Karina?
Here.
Thanks, Karina. We'll move on to the masters. Sipa, Mila, are you here?
Here.
Thanks, Mila. Catherine, are you here? No, Catherine. Everett?
Obviously, I'm here. I'll message her to see on the, I'll message her privately elsewhere to see if I can reach her. Catherine, just give me a second. So I'll see if I can dig her up.
Perfect. Thanks, Everett. And Ethan, are you here? Okay, Ethan is not here. Okay, it looks we have 16 members online. We do have quorum to conduct business. Okay, perfect. So I'll stop sharing my screen.
Did you catch that I'm here? I'm sorry, I'm late.
Tim, I don't think so.
Yeah, I messaged you in the chat. I wasn't sure if you saw it. Sorry about that.
No worries. Thank you for letting me know. So we still have quorum. We have 17 voting members present. Okay, perfect. So now I'd like to transition over the virtual gavel to Alex, who will chair the next two parts of the meeting, which is the introduction to Resolution 18 and Resolution 19. The reason why I'm doing this is because we, the executive team, are the authors of both resolutions, and Robert's Rules does not allow for the chair to present a resolution and chair the meeting at the same time. Alex, for those of you that don't know, is our counsel. So Alex, with that, I'll turn over the virtual gavel and have you chair the meeting.
Thanks for that kind introduction, Andy. With that, I'd like to move into the introduction and discussion of Resolution 18 as it relates to postponing of the spring 2020 executive board elections and extending expiring seats. As the abstract reads, this resolution postpones the elections and also extends the expiring seats of the executive board. And I'll let Andy describe why this has been proposed.
Perfect. Thanks, Alex. So in this part of the meeting, we introduce the resolution. This is our 18th one, and it's exactly what the title states. It's postponing the executive board elections. What is the executive board? That's the president, the executive vice president, the vice president of operations, and the vice president of communications. We are planning to postpone those elections until the fall and also extend our expiring seats, which will end on May 31st. So I'll do a brief introduction of what this decision came to be. So COVID-19, the pandemic has impacted all the timelines in the university, including our very own assembly and other matters in the university. However, Section 5.2 of the GPSA charter mandates that officers should be elected at the regularly scheduled meeting, which is today. The student assembly, the employee assembly, and the university assembly all had the foresight to see that this was not the best option to turn over a new executive team during the pandemic. So for this reason, the administration has spoken to the executive team, advising us and recommending that we maintain our current positions and extend them until the fall. Again, this is not a light recommendation. It's a strong recommendation from the administration. In addition to that, for those of you who do not know, it is Dean Newth's, the Dean of the Graduate School. It's her last term. Her term will finish in midsummer. And there's going to be a turnover in the leadership of the graduate school, which would mean that there would not be the GPSA with a whole new executive team, would not have the institutional knowledge to help the new dean navigate the GPSA's role in shared governance. The last thing is that we have announced these elections for our current positions as well as the committee chairs, and we did not receive any interest from the general body or the assembly to want to run for these elections. So the resolution is asking for the executive board elections to be postponed until the fall of 2020. However, we do realize that one or maybe two of our executive members are ineligible or unable to have their term extended because they will be graduating. And Alexa, can you scroll down to the last two beat? Thank you. In addition to that, we have added a timeline for elections, and the election for the new executive team, it could be done any time between the first and the third regularly scheduled meeting. We do have an updated draft of the meeting dates, which we'll be voting on at the third part of this session of the GPSA. But we don't. We also added here that the election should not happen any time after the third election, after the third meeting, which is the end of September. So by October, we should have a new executive board team. These parameters not only give us enough time to find a new executive team, but also ensures that we don't run over and be asked to perform in our roles up until December. So the final clause also states that if Alexa, myself, or Taylor, if we don't find a respective new executive board, that we are under, we do not have the obligation to perform our roles after the third regularly scheduled meeting. So with that, I would like to entertain any questions that the assembly All right. might have.
The chair recognizes Everett as first on the speaker's list.
Okay, I was curious with respect to the fact you said between the first and the third meeting, would it be possible to, sorry, I'm sure y'all thought long and hard about the language, just say until the third meeting that y'all remain in place such that we have, obviously, first meeting of the year would probably be general interest. Meeting two will allow new members to be seated if they aren't being seated by meeting one, such that, and also to give word out for potential candidates so that on meeting three, that elections can be held for, say, if any of you all choose to retain your positions or if you to make sure that there are people in place who can who are running.
Great. Yeah, I think we set the third meeting as a hard deadline to have the executive board elected. The reason why I added the first and the third meeting is in case we do have one of the voting members who would want to run and they are super excited to get started, then we want to ensure that the option to have them be elected can also happen in the first meeting. This is happening in other assemblies. I know the university assembly is having their elections at the very first meeting. We also didn't want to be as naive and think that we would have people interested at the first meeting. We have a huge turnover, especially from field representatives. So we did want to give us enough time to, in essence, recruit or, like you mentioned, advertise. I'm still entertaining questions. If you'd like to make amendments, then Alex will let you know when we can start discussing.
So to clarify, we are currently in the Q&A section where people ask questions directly to the sponsor of the resolution, and then they will answer them. After that, we can entertain a motion to move into the discussion phase where we can propose amendments or changes to the resolution or vote on the resolution. With that, the next person on the speakers list is Ariel, and she has the floor.
Hi, Ariel.
First of all, I just wanted to thank the executive board so much for being willing to do this. I know how much time and effort it is to serve, so thank you so much for your efforts. I also just wanted to mention, I know that one of the barriers to a lot of people is the time commitment. And so a lot of cost saving, well, first of all, you can sometimes make it work. But second of all, a lot of cost saving a lot of time saving measures are costly, things like childcare, things like getting takeout food. And so over the summer, I'm hoping to, along with Gina from the Office of the Assemblies, explore the possibility of potentially providing some sort of stipend to future officers in the exec board of the GPSA. Because, you know, that would structurally change the incentives and possibly enable people who couldn't otherwise participate to participate. So I know that there's also some reasons to not do this. So if you have any thoughts about this, please reach out to me over the Slack or by email or other means and let me know what you think. Thanks.
So the chair would like to remind everyone that this is a Q&A session. So please we do appreciate your input, but we are trying to structure it so that we have questions now and then comments and amendments after we vote to move into the discussion. With that said, did you have a response, Andy, to?
I've talked a little bit to Ariel about this. I think while that will be a great incentive for future officers in the GPSA, thank you, Ariel, for taking on that task and working on that over the summer with the Office of the Assemblies. I think right now at the current moment, it might be inappropriate to ask for that or had to have the exec or our chairs, our standing committee chairs to be compensated given all of the rest of the changes that are happening financially with the institution, with Cornell losing over $200 million, and I wish I were exaggerating. So while I would like to entertain this, I you can certainly do more research. I think the feasibility of making that happen is not appropriate, but certainly a discussion worth having, hopefully when things settle down.
So with that, the speaker's list for questions is currently, we have one. Stephanie, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. So at the end of the resolution, it says that the current executive board does not have the obligation to serve in their respective roles. Who would then take over those roles? How would the assembly be led? Would that then be the chairs? Or if you could explain that, that'd be great.
That's a great question, Stephanie. We have thought about this. The reason we added this clause is to add pressure to the assembly to make sure that we included this for the case that if we didn't include it, that they would say, oh, you know, the current exec team will be there anyway. So this is to add pressure. We would have to have a discussion with the Office of the Assemblies to see what would happen if this has been done in the past. But we could write another resolution between the first and third meeting if we don't have any interest and change this particular clause of this resolution. So that could be another solution to that. But to answer your question, I don't know yet. But we're hoping to cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The speakers list is currently empty. So with that, considering the timing of this resolution in our GPSA calendar for the year, perhaps I'd entertain a... Oh, Everett, do you have another question?
Or? Oh, no, I was going to make the motion. The motion to approve the resolution.
Oh, so first we need to move into discussion in order to go
on. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, my bad. Then yes, I'll make the motion to move to discussion. Sorry.
All right. So there's been a motion to clarify. There is a, for those who do not know, there is a clause in our bylaws that says that typically when we introduce a resolution, we need to wait at least one meeting between the Q&A and the general discussion in order to allow for people to think about the resolution. But considering this is the last meeting of the year, it makes sense for someone to motion to waive that requirement and move directly to discussion. So we'll look for a second for that. Someone can raise their hand or say second.
Second.
Cool. All right. So with that, or like to it requires a 2/3 vote for all those. This is Andy. This is just for voting members, correct?
This is just voting members.
Yes. Okay. So
we have 17 that are in the assembly, 25 that are seated, and 2/3 of. That of 17, of 25 is 17. Fish.
Okay, so all those voting members in favor of moving it to discussion, please raise your hand in the chat.
Or use the yes function, is that what we're doing?
Yep, yes, raise hand, either of those will work, yes.
Okay.
I'll lower them as I count them. All right, got one. All right, all those opposed? All right, all those abstaining? All right, so we appear to have the 2/3 of the currently seated members. So therefore, we will move into discussion. The floor is now open. I'm going to ask everyone to raise their hand if they wish to be on the speakers list. This could be for an amendment. It could be for discussion. It could be for a proposal to vote on the question. Mm-hmm. And it is open to everyone, not just voting members.
Right, changing the language or anything of that matter. And Alexa, are you going to do track changes?
Yeah. All right, Stephanie, you have the floor.
Can you actually scroll up to the first page so we can see the body of the text? So, thank you.
The floor is open for anyone who wishes to say something.
Or to call to question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can also. Cody, yes?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a motion to call a, make a vote. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, question. So there's been a motion to call the question on the resolution. So all those in favor are voting members, or is there any dissent to moving to vote on the resolution?
Nope.
Nope. All right. Seeing none, I'm going to move to vote on the resolution. So all those voting members who are in favor of the resolution, please say yes on the chat. Or, yep.
And Alex, there are 25 seated members.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Numbers.
Okay. All those opposed say no. All those abstaining, I'm going to infer the rest of you are abstaining. So there were 14 votes in favor, the rest were abstention. And that is, that says that this resolution has passed.
Thank you very much.
There's my gavel. There you go. I'll do that. All right. With that, I will move right along into resolution 19. Give me one moment to pull up resolution 19. So resolution 19 reads, in appreciation and recognition of Dean Barbara Newt's tenure as Dean of the Graduate School. And the abstract says, this resolution publicly recognizes and thanks Dean Newt for her outstanding leadership and dedication to graduate education during her 2 5-year terms as Dean of the Graduate School at Cornell. And with that, I'll leave it to Andy to describe the rationale behind the resolution.
Thanks, Alex. So this is on a much happier note, a bittersweet, because we are going to miss Dean Newt. And I believe Dean Newt is on our Zoom meeting. So that's also exciting. So again, this is in order to thank Dean Newt for her service and her 2 consecutive 5-year terms as Dean of the Graduate School at Cornell since 2010, a full decade. That's really, really impressive. So this is, she has been an extraordinary advocate and ally for graduate student education. She has demonstrated unwavering leadership and has been a steady hand during times of crisis, especially this one. So in order to ensure that the graduate student experience is as successful as it can be, with any hardship or circumstances that arises. So Dean Newt is our, again, not to be redundant, but a huge champion for our needs. At the top level, discussions with the president, provost, the faculty, the directors of graduate study, and I would even include, we forgot to include it, the Board of Trustees. And we really appreciated and wholeheartedly agree with Provost Kotlikoff's summary of what Dean Newt has been to our institution. And I'd like to not paraphrase this, but to actually read it. So he states that Dean Newt has been an extraordinary effective leader for the graduate school, improving accountability for student outcomes and graduate programs, increasing diversity and improving inclusion, and tirelessly advocating on key issues of most concern to graduate education, including immigration reform, financial aid, research support, and healthcare coverage. This quote was actually taken out of the Cornell Chronicle, which highlighted that in the fall of 2019, Dean Newt won the Deborah W. Stewart Award for Outstanding Leadership in Graduate Education, given by the Council of Graduate Schools, which is composed of 500 institutions of higher education all throughout the US and Canada. So she has a reputation amongst her peers. We certainly value her here at Cornell, but it's reassuring to know that she is an established leader of graduate education nationally. During her tenure, she has nurtured a close relationship with the GPSA and its leaders and is really on board with meeting and addressing each of our needs. Alexa, can you scroll a little bit back up, please? thank you. So it's very bittersweet that she's finishing up her last term as Dean of the Graduate School. It's coming to an end in mid-July, or I think July 2020. Midsummer is what I meant. But I'm sure she's super excited, but her service here has been impeccable, and we are extremely appreciative of her here at the graduate school in at Cornell. So this resolution, and Alexa, if you could scroll down a little bit, please, publicly recognizes and thanks her hard work, dedication, outstanding leadership during her whole tenure at Cornell. This is also to indicate that the GPSA appreciates the relationship that she has cultivated with its graduate student leaders. And again, have it be resolved that the GPSA appreciates Dean Newt's dedication and commitment to graduate student education and being a strong advocate for the graduate students at Cornell University. So with that, I like to entertain questions about this resolution.
So the floor is currently open for questions for the speaker. Everett?
I don't have questions. I was just hoping that I could make a motion to suspend the rules and move this immediately to...
call to question?
Yes, thank you.
So there's been a motion to essentially skip the red tape and move into calling the question on this resolution. Is there any, does anyone want to second that? Are the people raising their hands seconding it or agreeing with it?
Sorry, I have a point of order question, if yes. That's okay. Would mm-hmm. call to question mean directly to a vote, or would that mean go to discussion first?
I believe he's referring to a vote.
I'm referring to go to discussion.
Oh,
since
okay.
We're, since we're technically still on first readings, in the general term, that we have to move to second readings, and why wait around? And we can just do it all. We can just do it all at once.
All right. So to clarify, he has motioned to move straight to discussion.
Thank you.
Right, moving it to the business of the day.
Cody, are you seconding or raising your hand? Or?
Yeah, that was a second.
Okay. Is there any dissent to moving to the discussion? All right. Then the floor is now open for anyone who would like to say something or amend this resolution. Yes, Tim?
Yeah, sorry, lots of thoughts. I definitely appreciate DNU's leadership during all of this coronavirus nonsense. It's been extremely difficult, and Cornell has done much, much better than a lot of our peer institutions, I think, frankly, in communications to graduate students, and in the decisions that have made, and the transparency, and I really appreciate that. I still feel like I have some reservations over using phrases like unwavering support when an arbitrator did find that Dean Newth violated federal labor law to interfere with a duly called election. And I realize that this kind of thing is just a formality, and I get that this is just recognizing someone at the end of, you know, time here and all that, but it does kind of stick in my craw, given that Dean Newth has done many very good, very helpful things, but also interfered with a duly called election, and that was found, and that was a violation of federal law, that I feel like the signals in this might read poorly to some students, to just blanket say everything has been great and wonderful and we appreciate everything, you know?
Well, that is a valid point. I'd like to remind the purpose of this resolution, which is to acknowledge and show our appreciation. I guess my recommendation with that would be if you don't feel comfortable with the resolution or the language, you can abstain. But certainly you can make an amendment and see how the General Assembly feels.
Yeah, I wish I had a super concrete amendment in mind. Mm-hmm. I don't think I do, frankly, but I felt like it at least had to be raised.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
All right, the speaker's list is currently empty. Would anyone like to say any words or
me?
Yes, Everett.
Well, me, and then yes, I'd like to call the question. But first, I'd like to throw in a plug that I'm not claiming that Dean Newth is perfect and nobody is. But I would say, one, our leadership has generally been good. And also, from an accessibility standpoint, as somebody who's reached out to her on various issues, I have found that she was always very quick to respond and wasn't dismissive or patronizing in any way. And that was something, at least from my perspective, and only having been here a year, mind, that I certainly have appreciated, because having been to several universities at this point and seeing how different administrators have acted, I have very much appreciated.
Thank you for bringing that up, Everett.
Everett, you said you wanted a motion?
I did indeed, but I wanted to wait until, so I'd like to call the question.
There has been a motion to call the question on this resolution. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, the motion has been seconded. Is there any dissent to calling the question? All right, seeing none, we will move immediately to voting on this resolution. All those in favor of this resolution, please say yes in the participant chat. All right. All those opposed to this resolution, please say no in the participant chat. All those abstaining, please raise your hand. All right. So, handful of abstentions. It appears that this resolution passes. There were 9 votes for yes, 2 for no, and there were, so that is a majority of the votes.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Alex, and thank you, Vinu, for your service. I think you're still online.
Yes, she expressed a desire to say something.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you to the GPSA leadership team for all of the work that you've done, and it appears after your prior resolution will continue to do. So I appreciate the dedication and motivation that you've shown to graduate education at Cornell. I also wanted to acknowledge Tim's comments and acknowledge that that indeed I am not perfect, and the point he raised is a fair one. So thank you very much for raising that issue as well. And it's been a pleasure working with you all and your predecessors over the past 10 years. And I wish you luck in your future endeavors. So thanks very much for all you do for graduate education at Cornell.
Thank you, Dean Nuth. Thank you. We really appreciate you, and you've left huge shoes to fill. But now you can go and take a nice sabbatical and see what the new dean does with the new exec team and GPSA and the grad school.
Oh, yes, Dean Uth, what are you doing with your newly found free time now that you're not going to be dean at the graduate school anymore soon?
I will be going back on faculty. I'm a professor in natural resources. My area is natural resource policy, environmental policy. And I'm also a co-director of the Center for Conservation Social Sciences. So I'll be re-engaging with teaching, research, and service, not related to graduate education, service related to my area of expertise, which is in the social science side of fisheries resources. And I very much look forward to that. So thanks for asking.
Thank you. Dinuth, you are more than welcome to stay for the remaining of our meeting, but I know you're a busy woman, so if you have other stuff to do, you're more than free to sign off.
Thanks very much again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. With that, I am going to pass the gavel back to our president, Andy.
Perfect. Thanks, Alex. So the last order of business is, I guess, adopting. And this is not a formal resolution or anything. It's just putting the calendar, the next academic calendar for our GPSA meetings for next year. So again, this is not a formal resolution, but these are the dates for the fall 2020 and the spring 2021 meetings, 14 meetings total. So we just need, I think, Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, is it a straw poll or is it just a general vote? If the Office of the Assemblies could chime in if we don't have an answer for that. I believe everyone votes for the calendar. So with that, yeah, we'll go ahead and call it to question the new calendar. So
hold on. Everett has a question.
Oh yes, yes.
I do. Is there any way to Is there any way to jigger the the fall schedule so that there isn't a month gap between the third meeting and the fourth, because I don't want to say that would break up momentum. And I understand that obviously the fall break is when it is. And I was just curious if there was any thought to any way to how to manipulate the schedule in a way to try to prevent a 4-week gap between two meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a great point, Everett. I think that long gap, now that we think about it, will serve as training ground for the new exec. If we do intend to finalize a new exec then, that gives them almost a month to get acclimated to their new roles. So that might even serve as a purpose.
Okay, fair enough. I was just wasn't sure if there had been thought or discussion there, and I was just
yes. And I believe either Gina or Wendy have something to say about it as well. So,
Andy, it's me, Wendy. If we were to shift that back by a week, that falls on Labor Day, which there are no classes that day, so it does kind of throw things off a little bit more. Just to keep that in mind as well.
Mm-hmm. Except if I'm...
Wait, sorry, Everett. Ariel has a question, but we'll get back to you after. Ariel?
Hi.
Sorry, I keep unmuting you, and then you were unmuting yourself. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So I know that under the different... coronavirus planning contingencies, they're exploring different calendar options for next semester, including possibly pushing back the start date of next semester. So do we have, would we shift the meeting schedule if the semester schedule shifted? And also, what do we have separate plans for, would there be any chance that this would be in person if classes and stuff were in person in the fall, or would this definitely be virtual in the fall?
That's a great question. Certainly we would follow university protocol as to how we would handle our meetings by then. And depending on that, it's kind of hard to tell. You probably know a lot better than I do on that matter. So yes, definitely we would follow protocol when it comes to shifting the calendar dates. Again, this is not necessarily a formal resolution. So it's just a recommendation for the meeting dates and to make people aware of these dates. So if we do need to shift, certainly we can do that. And as far as being virtual or in-person meetings, again, depending on what the university mandates, we'll go with that. My guess is maybe that it'll be virtual in the beginning and hopefully transition over to in-person meetings towards the middle or end. But we'll wait for university recommendations on that.
Okay, back to Everett.
So with respect to Gina's point regarding Labor Day, I'm not, even though Labor Day is a day for no classes, because Tuesday is the day after Labor Day is a regular class day, and which means in theory that all of us would have to be back anyway, or those of us who are continuing on next year, I think it's less of an imposition than having, obviously, because of the fall break, and then having days past that where there's no classes, thus no would be more of an imposition to cause to have a meeting, which is obviously why it was canceled that way. Just a thought.
Okay, thank you, Everett.
Kavya.
Sorry, got on mute. This is just some quick response to Everett, but I just want to say if campus is closed, Labor Day schools will also be closed. So that assumes that people will have to provide their own daycare. If they're coming from further away, they may not be coming to campus, but would have to come specifically for this meeting. So I'm not in favor of holding meetings on days that there aren't classes or campus is closed.
Right. Thank you, Kavya, for that clarification. Are there any other questions about the proposed calendar for next semester? Seeing none. Okay. So I'd like to move to vote, call to question on this calendar. And if the Office of the Assemblies can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's everyone. If you're a field rep or a voting member, you can vote on the calendar. So with that, the motion is all those in favor of the calendar, please use the participants tab and do a yes vote. Okay, votes are still coming in. And I suppose we'll do a majority. I guess we have a vote too, right?
I believe everyone can vote.
Yeah.
Not just voting members.
Yeah, everyone can vote. That is a graduate professional student. Okay, votes are still coming in.
Sorry, Jen.
We have crossed the threshold of majority. Okay, thank you for confirming, Gina, that everyone can vote. Okay, so I will take 28 in favor. Anyone who is opposed to the university calendar, please click the no option. Seeing none, okay. All those who are opposed, click the yes option. Okay, seeing none, the calendar is approved with a majority of 28. Thank you very much. Okay, we're moving along. So next on the agenda is old business. And we're taking it back all the way to resolution 8, which truly is, this is taking us back almost 2 years. And this resolution is a resolution to adopt the Graduate Professional Community Initiative. We did introduce it in the past, right before, I think at our last in-person meeting. So now we'd like to open up the floor for discussion. And this means that we can change amend the resolution to our liking. So I'd like to open up the floor to any amendments, or actually before I do that, Alexa, if you can maybe in a minute or a minute and a half, briefly go over some of the clauses and why we're doing this for the members who are just joining us now and a refresher for the rest of us.
Right, so the GPCI, or the Graduate and Professional Community Initiative, is a strategic plan that we've been working on it for the past 2 years. And a lot of blood, sweat, and tears have gone into it. Originally, it was created in 2007. And then in 2013, another iteration was created based on that iteration in 2007. And it's considered to be a 5-year plan. I picked it up in 2018, towards the end of 2018, after like months of people asking for someone to take this on. Unfortunately, it's been a little slow. We've been trying our best to get as many people to engage with this document as possible. And we've done this through numerous feedback loops. We've had a SAC joint town hall, and we've also had multiple online fora to express feedback on this document. So basically what I wrote in this is, it's very similar to the resolution that was passed in 2013 for the 2013 GPCI. And basically it just explains like why this is important and why it's useful for university administration and for the community at large. And then it also gives a list of the people that we'll be sending this to. So this includes the the Board of Trustees, President Martha Pollack, multiple deans, including the deans of, including the vet Law and Johnson deans, as well as the Dean of the Graduate School. Currently, it will go to Dean Newth because she's still in office, but she will be sending it to her, to the person who is
successor.
Yeah, I wanted to say predecessor, but I know that's not right. Basically it's a huge list. It's also going to like relevant community members. So that includes the mayor of Ithaca, as well as the manager of TCAT, because we do have a transportation section. I included the GPCI in the meeting agenda, and it's a 50-page document, so I don't want to go through the entire thing. But if you have any questions or comments on this resolution, I do want to say that we will be sending this document to be kind of proofread to make sure that the language is consistent and that like the formatting is correct. And there are still some sections that are a work in progress, and I'm hoping that the people in charge of those sections send it to me as soon as possible. But obviously I understand the circumstances that we're under right now. And I do hope that you would consider passing this, because I do really think that the GPCI is a super important document. If you ever want to see like how much of an impact it's made, just look up the 2018 progress report that the graduate school has published about things that they've accomplished that were from the 2013 GPCI. So if you have any comments or questions, I'm ready to take them.
Before I pass on the floor to Kavya and Everett, I do wanna stress the importance of this document and also take the time to thank Alexa for a colossal amount of work that she has done in getting this together. The behind the scenes, it have been super dynamic to to get this together. So Alexa has done a tremendous and magnificent job in getting this together. So I do want to recognize her work and know that her work is appreciated. And I am super happy that we are voting on this resolution today at our last meeting, because it is a metaphor for all of the hard work that we've been doing in the last 2 years. With that, I will turn it over to, Kavya.
Thanks. Yes, a lot of credit to Alexa for putting this together.
And to everybody who helped, like Kavya.
I was just wondering if it would be worth adding a clause, because the 2018 is really, really helpful. When forming the new ones, if we should add a clause that suggests that the grad school puts out another progress report in between the 5 years.
Yeah, we can. So we would have to vote on that, and we would have to get specific language for that, but I think that's a great idea.
So, Kavya, is that a formal amendment?
Sure. I would like to propose a formal amendment.
So can you restate your amendment, please? Just so I can state it again. To add a clause, clause.
Well, yeah, I guess a whereas clause right at the end, maybe, right before the result.
Uh-huh.
The GPSA recommends that the graduate school, thinking of language. Needs a progress report?
Okay. So right now, the proposed amendment that Kavya is proposing is to add a whereas clause on line 23 and 24 that states the GPSA recommends that the graduate school will release a progress report of accomplished action items.
Before 2024 or something like that. Just says before the next GPCI.
Or the next iteration of the GPCI.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a second to that amendment that states, everyone can see it on the screen, the GPSA recommends that the graduate school will release a progress report of the accomplished action items before the 2024. Is there a second to that amendment?
I'll second.
There's been a second. Is there any dissent to adding that amendment to resolution 8? Seeing none, okay, the amendment passes. Thank you. So now, with that new amendment to the resolution 8, we're taking it back to look at the whole resolution, and I see Everett has his hand raised. So Everett, you have
a I do, and one thing I was curious about, and this is a procedural question built in. Now, can we in effect state that we pass it on the basis of what we have, recognizing that certain amendments and adjustments need to be made, grammar and other such things, but can we include language such that we recognize that we state that this fundamentally, even though there might need to be additions or modifications to this document, that fundamentally that this does represent thought, will, etc., but yet still this might not that just because something may not be in it yet this may not, it may not be what's, sorry, rewind, that just because there might not be everything in this version of the document such as it exists now, that does not mean that it won't be by the time it eventually goes through its various rounds of review and everything else. Does that make sense, or do I need to try to sound stutter less and try to reform my words into a single cogent expression thereof?
Can you just email me what you want to say so that I can type it up into the document? Because
I'll do that now.
If I understood your question correctly, Everett, it was to add some language in this resolution that states that the resolution that we're passing today of the GPCI document that we're approving of today is not necessarily intact to the one that we will have done.
But that this represents our will and intent and such that any additions and modifications are meant to complete the document, not meant to indicate that this isn't more or less that we're getting people's will now, right, before we're getting whether or not people that the approval exists now, mm-hmm, even though we recognize that there, that specific language for some portions of this might need to go under change. If that makes sense.
Yes, I think that does make sense. I'd also like to add that we are not planning to make any changes in the content. It's all structural, just grammar, stylistic changes.
That's fine. I just, that's my point, is that even though this will be revised for grammar, substance, whatever, like I said, I'll give me a second. I'll write out what I want to include and I'll send it to Alexa.
To add a little bit of context, the 2013 iteration of the GPCI, the final version of the document was distributed to the administration in June, late May.
Yeah. So I basically cut a lot of similar language, but they basically did what we're trying to do, where they passed the resolution and the actual document the end of their last meeting of the year, and then sent it in June. I think it was actually the end of June that administration finally received their copy. Mm-hmm. And they gave like a physical piece of paper. So that's like another thing that we're planning on doing, is finding someone to like print this.
Mm-hmm. Great. So Everett, if you'd like to propose a formal amendment, we'll go ahead and wait for that. In the meantime, are there any questions or formal amendments to this resolution? Okay.
Okay.
So Alexa will give ourselves a couple of minutes to, not a minutes, minute to wait for this proposed amendment. But in the meantime, does anyone have any questions about, any of the new members have any questions about the GPCI, the Graduate Professional Community Initiative, the strategic plan that we've been crafting for the last 2 years? Hopefully this was not something that you've never heard of, because we did push this out quite consistently through the field representatives, through the graduate school, through different avenues, social media. So hopefully this is not the first time that you hear of this. Ariel, the floor is yours.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just realizing that some circumstances have changed due to the pandemic, and some of the grad student community's needs are different than, you know, what we're putting out in this document. So I'm wondering if, you know, we're, like, obviously, like, the GPCI is a super important document, and thank you all so much for your work. Are we just going to address those needs through individual resolutions, or is there some plan to put out, like, you know, pandemic edition to the GPCI supplement thing?
I mean, there currently aren't any plans for that. I think right now our plan is to see things as they come and recognize individual resolutions for pandemic related issues. I personally think that there's so much going on and things are in flux that it would be quite impossible to capture it all into a document like the GPCI. But yes, I do agree that there are things that will be changing that are not going to be addressed in the GPCI.
Right. And to add a little bit of context, the first iteration of the document, the Graduate Community Initiative, that was set forth in 2008, the recession hit right after. So some of the items were not addressed. And I think the 2013 iteration of the progress report from the graduate school stated that as much as they would like to have done, the recession was certainly an obstacle to get those things done. Let's hope that's not the case this time around. Everett, did you have your formal amendment?
I emailed it to you and Alexa.
Perfect. Alexa, if you can get that, and then we can vote on Everett's amendment. Okay, and I guess I could read. Oh, there we go.
That resolved should be the very last one. Obviously, that's just because it's. So it should go after that. Who's on the distribution list for the resolution? Just that it's a statement of yes, that we recognize that there are still changes that need to be made with regarding grammar structure and so on. If that makes sense.
So I am happy with the content of this amendment, but I would prefer that this continues to be the end of the.
Okay. Resolution. That's fine. Whichever your preference allows. I just wanted to make sure that it was the last content-y one, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right before all of that.
Perfect. So I would, the amendment before I call it to question, can you resolve the GPCI instead of S?
Sorry.
No worries.
You're good.
So the amendment states, it's a new resolved clause between line 29 and 31, and it states, resolved that this document, whilst expressing GPSA's will on support of the creation of the GPCI, although this document requires changes in formatting, grammar, and syntax, that those changes in the future will not in any way change the intent of this resolution. So that is the clause that was proposed. Is there a second to adding this clause to Resolution 8? Let me go back to participants. Okay, there's been a second from Cody. Is there any dissent to adding this clause to the resolution? Okay, there's no dissent. This amendment adding the resolved clause between line 29 and 31 passes. Thank you. We are back to discussing the whole resolution. Are there any more amendments that people would like to make to resolution 8? Everett, I see a hand. I don't know if that's a new amendment or if you forgot to lower your hand. Nope. Okay.
No, that was before and I thought somebody already got it. My bad.
No worries. So I do want to be mindful of time. So if there aren't any more amendments that people want to propose, I would like to ask someone to move this to call to question.
I'll call to question, or I'll make the move. I'll call to question.
Okay, thank you, Everett. There's been a motion to call to question on Resolution 8, adopting the GPCI. There's been a second from Cody and Mila. Is there any dissent to calling this resolution to question? Seeing none, is there any abstention? Nope, seeing none. Okay, so we are now voting. The motion passes. We are now voting on this resolution. So all those in favor of Resolution 8, which is a resolution to adopt the Grad and Professional Community Initiative, please vote yes. Again, this is a super important document. Okay. Last call for voting yes. Okay. Okay, I'll cap it at 15 yeses. Those in favor. Those opposed, please use your no option to vote in opposition of this resolution. Seeing none. Any abstentions to this resolution? Vote yes. So I'm going to clear the yes votes. And now you can vote yes to abstain voting on this resolution. Okay, so the resolution with a vote of 15-0-1 abstention, and there are 8 vacant seats, so we count those as, not vacant seats, as abstain vote. So 15-0-9, the resolution passes. Thank you very much, Alexa, and everyone else. Congratulations.
Thank you to literally everyone, Kavya, Eugene, Andy, Alex. I know I'm going to forget people because I'm on the spot, but I'm just seeing who's
Rina.
Rina, literally, like, this is your document. Like, you wrote this, people who provided feedback.
Right.
Seriously. Thank you.
Manisha, Connor Bernard. Connor,
Brianna, Kesselstein. Yeah, a lot of people worked on this document.
Yeah, so thank you all so much for that. That is great news. Okay, perfect. So with that, we finish old business and business for this academic turn. And I'd like to be mindful of time. We have 15 minutes for open forum. So I do know that Jeff and Becca, if you made it to the meeting, and Ariel, if you want to chime in, these are our graduate student delegates, representatives on the committees that are trying to find ways to reopen the campus and research and everything. So I'll pass the floor over to Jeff so he can tell us a little bit more about the town hall that I emailed about you guys, earlier today. So Jeff, the floor is yours.
Great, hi everyone. Becca can't join us today. She's had a personal emergency, but both of us created just a quick slideshow to kind of tell you about the process that we're going through. And Ariel, if you have anything that comes up from your group, let us know. And so, let's see.
Just to confirm, Jeff, you are starting to share your screen. It's still loading though.
Hello?
We can hear you, but we can't see your screen yet.
I'm back. That was the most inconvenient timing. But can everyone can see me now, right?
No, can you try that again, please?
Oh, can you see me?
We can see you, but we can't
okay, great.
See you.
Okay, I'll pull up the presentation then again. Great.
Okay. We can see the presentation now. Perfect.
Thank great. You. Okay. So, yeah, Ariel, if you have any additional information from your committee, let us know. Basically, as you recall, a couple of weeks ago, President Pollack in her office announced the creation of committees that would look into the reactivation and reopening of the campus. So they're looking at it in this multi-pronged approach. And I'll kind of go into some detail as to what that looks like. So three committees were created to kind of start this process into assessing how can the campus get ready for this transition. And so the first one is a committee to look at teaching reactivation options. How does that look like once we switch back into on-campus teaching? The second one is preparation for additional online teaching, given the response of how the semester has had, what are the recommendations going forward for that, if that's a possibility. And then the last thing is something that's also very pertinent for a lot of you, is Committee on Research and Operations Reactivation. And so today I'll be focusing on the number one and three, but kind of the main idea, and I won't belabor the whole thing because there's a lot to talk about and we don't have all the answers yet. But the main thing regarding research and operations is we want to consider how faculty and researchers on campus want to go about their research project plans, but also consider federal, statewide health considerations that are also in place during the pandemic. And so you don't have to go into this, and I can send out the slides later if you want, but the idea of the committee is to get an idea of to the timeline of this phase campus reactivation. Like, how does it look like going forward? Campus will be open. Lots of questions around that, like, do we have enough equipment to help with sanitation? Do we have enough PPE, for example? How does things like densities of facilities look like? And then obviously the operational background of it when you enter campus again. So I won't like cover each of these points, but these are some major questions that we're thinking about at the moment. And this is kind of the composition of the committee. I currently sit on it with various faculty, also compliance officers are on campus. And where our goal is to kind of look at what does this process look like across campus. And this is later I'll talk about how I want input from all of you, whether that's through the town halls that was announced or even directly to me and some of the other grad student representatives. Now, we really want to consult everybody here on campus, not only the faculty, right? Obviously, this is their research group, but also the graduate students as well. They are really integral to that process and they are very much involved with the research process, as well as staff members, right? Support staff, technicians, and that sort, from the financial and kind of regulatory aspect, making sure we're compliant with those federal and state guidelines. And then also in coordination with facilities, department chairs like your DGSs, and then also giving special consideration to vulnerable populations. So this is kind of the feedback that we've gotten so far to really consider. Really, we're trying to figure out very specific plans for how to comply with social distancing and health guidelines for not only wet lab research, but also field-based research. And this is in particular for the humanities and social sciences, any human-based research that might require person-to-person contact. In addition to that, for all these different scenarios, how does PPE look like with each groups or core facilities, whether or not we should look at adequate testing, whether that is a requirement going in or something that would be prioritized, as well looking at an approval process for faculty. How do we get students, how do we get projects to eventually get approved, given that they hit the checklist of all these different things that we are requesting for? And then finally, just safety and privacy concerns. So the other thing that Becca was meant to talk about, but I'll kind of fill in that shape, that hole for her, is that we wanted to look also at things like teaching and social distancing. How does that play a role in the classroom, for example? And then so their goal is a little bit more long-term. The timeline for the research reopening is much shorter. We're hoping to have recommendations to the president by within the next couple of a month or so, but this one is looking for a longer process of how the opening of on-campus learning can have going into late August. And in general, we're talking about coursework that would happen in the fall. Again, these are the relevant groups. I can reference them again to you when I send out the slides. These are also on the Dean of Faculty website, which I have linked at the end of the slide as well. And I can put that as information for all of you to access. And again, this one's a little bit different because this is also in coordination with not only graduate students, but primarily undergraduate students, right? And professional students as well, because this online teaching, potentially transitioning to physical teaching, it will be very invaluable to get that insight from them. But also as well, residential communities. So any GFAs and anybody who lives on campus, we want to consider their feedback as well. So some things that they've talked about so far are thinking about the financial impacts of how online versus in-person versus hybrid models look like, accommodations for those vulnerable populations if we were to return physically, talking about potential training about hygiene and viruses once students get enrolled, and then also things about equity issues involving virtual teaching, which is something that maybe some of you have already been hearing about this semester. So the main thing that I want to really kind of clarify is that right now the committees are all kind of in the early stages of developing their game plan for trying to reactivate campus. But it's really important for graduate students to really provide that feedback about, one, how has COVID changed your research or your teaching? And then two, what does that look like? What are the things that need to be in place in order for it to come back? And so there's two town halls this week, and I provided the Zoom links here. One is on Wednesday, specifically on reactivation of research. And then there's a reactivation of teaching student town hall on Thursday. So please spread the word to the rest of your fields and the members of your degrees and really spread the word about this because we really want to have as much information as possible. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Jeff. That's a much better looking slide than what I sent out this morning. So we'll probably send that out as a reminder again before the actual town halls. I will be moderating one of them. With that, Jeff, you probably don't have any answers to that. So I do want to be mindful of time. We have 7 minutes before our meeting.
Ariel is also serving
as another member of our committee. So Ariel, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify what my role is at this point. So for political reasons that I don't understand, they're not currently having a graduate representative on CPOT, the third committee that was on the list for the committee for the preparation of online teaching. So I'm currently on the faculty committee advising the faculty member who is on the actual committee. The committee member Courtney Roby is working to try and get a grad student put on the actual committee. But that's why I'm not officially listed on anything. But yes, I am trying to solicit grad student feedback about virtual TAing experiences and what it's been like in that transition. So some of the things that the committee is thinking about so far is rethinking curricula. So rethinking like requirements for programs and maybe the breadth of what departments offer. So that would definitely change, you know, grad student TA assignments and that sort of thing. Rethinking the support that there is for instructors. And rethinking like what the student experience might look like if, you know, a lot or all of the semester were held online. So there, as far as I know, there isn't a lot of discussion in CPOT so far about, you know, graduate TA's role in this experience. So either through my messages to Courtney and through like that faculty committee, or hopefully through getting on the actual committee, I want to try and advocate for graduate TA interests. So like Jeff said, definitely attend, and Andy said, definitely attend those two town hall meetings. Those are going to be really crucial for starting to gather graduate and professional student input on reopening of campus.
Okay, I do see a lot of people on the, thank you, Ariel. I do see a lot of people on the chat that might have questions for Jeff or Ariel. There's not a guarantee that they'll have those answers.
I don't have questions. I just need to make an announcement for my committee since I'm still appropriations chair, and okay. I'm obviously so that's what my hands raised for. Just to get
okay. Thank you for the clarification, Everett. But let's go with Mila. Did you have a question?
Sorry. Hi. How are you? So I was wondering two things. One, can you share that like that slide that has the information with the two town halls? Because I was gonna ask which one is for what. So I think that's kind of clear, and we can use that as a flyer and to like give information to people to send like everything in only one email. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, so I've also made ones individually for each one. And then actually on this one, this is what I was going to send out. So this links you to the Dean of Faculty website where we're all trying to consolidate this information.
Okay.
And so I'll send these out too. These are meant to be made as promotional flyers that you can distribute to your field and whoever else.
Okay, great. And the other thing that I was wondering is that if we have like possible ideas, as what could happen, or just, you know, brainstorming, should we email you beforehand on the town halls, or does it matter if it's only for research or just teaching? Should we just reach out just saying, hey, this is what I've been thinking that might be viable? Or like, I don't know how your guys are gathering information in that sense.
Yeah, so there's different ways that we're doing it. So one way is you can email either me or Becca, and I have our net IDs on there. And so if anybody wants to know, for Becca, it's RAH288. And then for me, it's JTP239. I know I'm just saying it, but I'll distribute that information when I can. Another way you can do it if you want to have it be seen is that on the website that I link for the different promotional information, the Dean of Faculty website for each of the committees has a comment section. And so if you have input on that, that the committee will look at that consistently. You don't have to wait until the town hall. The reason why is because me and the committees themselves are meeting, I would say, 2 to 3 times every week. So whenever you bring in information to us, we'll relay that information out to the committee. And because of the fact that we're the only grad students sitting on there, I think it's really important to provide that voice.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, we do have 2 minutes left. Stephanie, did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, my question was just in regards to the town halls. Are there going to be more? The reason why is because we're still in classes. I'd like to attend it, but you know, both of those timeframes, I'm in class, and next week I'm sure it's going to be like finals and such. So I'm wondering if we could suggest having another round of town halls, perhaps in like 3 or 4 weeks, to get those that haven't been able to, that weren't able to attend or can't get there last minute.
The short answer to that, and Jeff, you might know more about this than I do, is that the timeline is kind of limited. So I think this is, for now, the only time town hall that will be available, because I think the committees will have to do all this within a month, right? So 3 to 4 weeks from now, it's making the recommendation. So I'm not sure. Jeff, Ariel?
I do think the timeline is different depending on the committee. The research one is a little bit more tight just because we're trying to follow in coordination with New York State's reopening process. And whereas teaching is a little bit long-term because we're primarily focused on fall teaching. I will say that if there is a real need for that, then I can relay that information to the faculty who are primarily facilitating it. So for my committee, that's Chris Schaefer from bioengineering. And so if that seems to be a necessity, and I totally understand because, for example, I know this week law has a ton of exams that they're going through now. And so we would like more opportunities to be there. If you feel that that's not a good avenue for it, again, I would recommend you reaching out to us directly or that public comment area on the website. Those are different avenues too for providing some feedback.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe, so the research committee, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are going to make a recommendation by May 15th and then the teaching committees by June 15th. Mm-hmm. So presumably comments would have to come in a little bit before then because the committees are preparing recommendations.
Point of order, can we extend for 10 minutes or can we make a motion to extend for 10 minutes since we're already at time?
There's been a motion to extend the meeting for 10 minutes, was it, Everett?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 10 minutes. Is there a second? You can verbally second.
Seconded.
There's been a second. Is there a dissent to extending the meeting for 10 minutes? Seeing none. Okay. The motion to extend the meeting for 10 minutes passes. Okay. Ariel, did you finish your comment? Okay, perfect. I'd like to give the floor to Tim. Tim, you have the floor.
Thanks. I'm hoping to attend the town hall meeting and I can maybe just bring this up again then, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. So I wanted to say out loud, thanks, Jeff, for all that info. That was really great. Has there been any discussion in the research reactivation committee about a potential scenario where the university has approved some plan for lab work, but a student, maybe an immunocompromised student, doesn't feel safe going back in yet, and some formalized thing that basically just because we say you're allowed in the lab doesn't mean you can force people in the lab if they don't feel safe yet? Because I'm worried about advisors maybe pushing people before they're ready. You know what I mean? There's just so much uncertainty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so as of right now, we haven't talked about it, but I think this is a really important concept that we need to structure because, again, like that is, even right now, right, with current restrictions on research, you can probably eke your way through those kind of examples where you have certain faculty maybe kind of willingly encouraging their students to keep working. And in that state where a student is not, you know, very comfortable in doing so because of personal health reasons, then I think that there should be a structure in place. So that's something that hasn't been formally discussed, but that's something that you definitely should bring up if you can, again, in the town hall, but I will definitely relay that information as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Kavya, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick note. Again, I'm hoping to be at the town hall, so I can maybe bring this up there as well. But I wanted to stress that for the teaching committee, especially, I think it might be more important, international students who might be starting or who need to renew visas or for any reason probably won't be able to make it on campus if your international flights don't open up or if embassies don't open up and they can't get visas. So just the option of like if we have only on-campus classes, and no flexibility, that is going to affect those students.
Yeah, and I agree that actually that's something that I'll relay that to Becca, but primarily this is something that's really important. Like I actually personally know this, I studied abroad in undergrad and the visa process for me, although straightforward, can take longer during that summer period right before you come in to mm-hmm. classes. So if immigration offices aren't open, if campus does not seem to be open, what does that look like? So that's a good question. I'll relay that over to Becca.
All great questions. We'll go with Ariel. Did you have a question?
Oh, I was just going to say one possibility they're exploring for like international students, but also for immunocompromised students would be if classes are in person, like all classes could maybe have some sort of online option, but then like trying to make that like equitable is a concern. So if you have any thoughts about that would also be useful to relay.
Thanks, Ariel. Tim, did you have another question or comment?
Nope, I forgot to take it down, sorry.
No worries, thank you. Okay, Jeff, is that everything you had to say about the town hall for Wednesday and Thursday?
Wednesday and Thursday. I think the dates specifically are incorrect, but I'll, because today's May,
4th.
They're incorrect, but the time and the day of the week is correct.
And the
you
Zoom
all remember link. The days of the week. Yes.
And the Zoom link, hopefully. Again, we will go ahead and relay that information. Ariel, did you have something else to add about the town hall? No. Okay, perfect. So we'll lower your hand. Again, this is open forum. So if anyone has anything to say, I see Everett.
I do want to make a plug for everybody obviously I came in as appropriations chair last minute as a fill-in for somebody else who resigned midterm. And I wanted to, obviously, since I am graduating officially probably December, but I'll be coursework complete and effectively be done by August. So regardless of whatever it is, like I may be officially still a student like that the fall semester, but I expect that I'll be working or something at that point. So I certainly want to be able to pass off this role as expeditiously as possible, which means if there's somebody who wants to take it, by all means, let's talk and then figure out a transition plan. Because I was willing to step in because nobody else was able to do it for this year. But I got to bow out by August or September. So if that makes sense to everybody.
Perfect. So yes, there will be a vacancy in appropriations chair as soon as August, for sure. I think even though I think our role ends on May 31st, I'll have to go back and check appropriations chair. But yes, certainly if you're interested in being appropriations chair, the seat will be open to any of our current members. Feel free to reach out to us or Everett if you have any questions about that role. Any other things for open forum? Seeing none, perfect. Okay, with that, I'd like to move on to the next section of the agenda, which is adjournment. But before we transition over to that, I'd like to take the time to thank you all for this academic year in the GPSA, for your work, your time, your dedication. I would like to thank the executives team who have been amazing and fabulous throughout this whole academic year. So thank you to the executive team. That's Alexa, Victoria, Alex, and Taylor. So thank you. I would also like to thank all of the committee chairs, as well as all the voting members, the field reps who have dedicated their time to this academic year. We hit a bit of a roadblock towards the end of it, but we seem to have made it through. So thank you all for your time and dedication. I'd also like to thank the Office of the Assemblies for all of their support, who have been amazing throughout this whole academic year. It's been a pleasure to work with you all. And Ashlyn, also our office clerk, who has also done an amazing job and who is graduating. So congratulations, Ashlyn. And also to any of the members who are graduating, congratulations. It's a bit of an odd graduation, but you've made it. For those of you who will be coming back to us in the fall, we look forward to seeing you then. We had a resolution for Dean Newth. I would also like to thank the graduate school, especially Jan Allen, who has been amazing and has consistently been one of our more consistent members. So thank you, Jan, for sticking with us, for coming to our meetings. I'm really sad that the GPSA appreciation ceremony did not happen, but I'm hoping next year we can pull that off again. Thank you for your support and for your time, Jan. We really, really appreciate it. So with that, I'd like to move to the last section of the agenda. We have 1 minute left, which is adjournment. So
I'll move to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? I see a second. Okay, so is there an opposition? Is anyone opposed to adjourning the meeting, the last meeting? Seeing none, okay, meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.